There are multiple stories in the Gospels about Jesus casting out demons. 61 verses in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John mention the word demon. We often don't know what to do with this because it really feels foreign to our experience and kind of outside of our personal realm. In addition, in the books of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they record that Jesus gave the disciples authority over demons. He sent out the 12 and then later the 70 to go out among the people. And he gave them authority to cast out unclean spirits and to heal the sick. In Luke 10, verse 17, we read that the 70 returned with joy. And they were saying, "Lord, in your name, even the demons submit to us." And then in Acts chapter 16, verse 18, Paul is telling about a slave girl that is selling fortunes. She's making her owners very, very rich by being able to tell fortunes, and actually got on Paul's nerves. And he says, "I order you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out at that very hour. The whole thing still feels foreign to us, and we sometimes dismiss it as really not applicable to us. Or we explain away demons as just illnesses that weren't understood in Jesus' day. And we relegate the cure to modern medicine rather than to prayer. For a long time, I also didn't know that we could do this. Until there came a time that, despite professional help, somebody I knew was escalating with fear and could not be calmed. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know what to say. I felt helpless and desperate. Finally, I prayed, hoping it would work. I didn't know what else to say. So I said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Satan, leave now." And to my amazement, things returned to normal. It really felt surreal. It kind of made me look around and kind of felt odd. And yet I was grateful for the normality that returned. There were other times that I was surprised in the dramatic way in which I saw unholy spirits respond. I began to realize that what the scripture said was absolutely true. God has given us authority over unholy spirits. I began to notice that sometimes things were their right size. Even when it was something negative, like a problem that we face that is right size, and we know how to tackle it. We know what to do. We know how to respond. But other times, it felt inflated. Bigger than was reasonable. Like it was blown up, puffed up. And it was in these times that I realized that there was an unholy spirit that had inflated the situation and blown it out of whack, out of what was reasonable, and left me and all of us not having a clue how to respond. Those were the times that I was given the authority to speak to the unholy spirit and demand that it leave. Walter Wink is an author that really has helped us understand this. He talks about, he has a couple of books out, Powers That Be and Engaging Powers, that explain this all in a lot better detail than I'm going to touch on this morning. But he helps us understand that all people, institutions, governments, powers, everything has an outer presence and an inner aspect. The outer presence is what we see, the physical manifestation. It's the body, the building, the organization, the structure that is visible. It's what you can, in essence, touch or see visually. But that there is also an inner aspect, not just to people, but to organizations, governments, powers, to all of these entities. and we don't see it. It's an inner spiritual ethos. It's an internal way of being, way of operating on the inside. And if they're redeemed, we experience them in a positive manner. But if the inner aspect or spiritual ethos has fallen, it takes on a negative presence. And that's what we experience, not in the what you touch, feel, see on the outside, but the experiential encounter of something that is puffed up. Walter Wink talks about ways in which the network of these powers become integrated together around idolatrous values, and then they become the domination system that is at play in our world. The domination system is powerful and exerts control over those it encounters, and it often colludes. We see this, for example, with the homeless who... a person loses their job, then they lose their home, then somebody takes money out of their account, then, you know, it kind of goes from one place to another until it expands, and there's this devastation that comes from all angles. But I think we have all encountered this domination system sometimes in less overt ways, and sometimes, you know, it's a little more subtle than that. But it is powerful and it is present. And these were the unholy spirits that I began to notice. And I think this is what we've noticed in our world today that has caused us so much trouble. We've talked for the last 2 weeks about the sense that we have that there's something terribly wrong in our world. We have felt it in our bodies, in our emotions, in our spirits. Different ones of us apprehend it in different ways, but we are troubled. It's present in the actions in our government, in natural disasters, in the sexual abuse that is rampant and keeps popping up time and time again. It seems like there's no escaping this. It is just coming again and again and again, and it's consuming everything. It flows over us, and it's dark. We're tempted to call it political. But you know, the truth is it's more than that. It's this unholy spirit presence, and is a darkness that seems overwhelming. We know the truth that light dispels darkness. We know that physically, because when we're in a dark room and if we were to light a match, even just a very small light, means that we begin to be able to see, and that light dispels the darkness. John 1:5 says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it." But lately it's felt as if the darkness is closing in. It seems relentless and persistent in the way that it just keeps coming. And so we're looking for tools that will shine light into the darkness, like the match. When the lights go out in my condo, I immediately go for my flashlight, and then the matches and the candles and the lantern. There are tools that I have to get me through those times when there is no electricity around. And I have them where I can find them. So we have started naming tools that are ours to use in this darkness that has persisted and flown over us. We've talked about how important it is to tell the truth, to name what is happening. To tell the whole truth about ourselves, about our situation, about what we see around us, about God. To tell the truth. To admit that we are enough. We are enough to do and to be in this situation. whatever is asked of us. We do not have to live afraid. We have the angel's message that says, fear not. And we wear the protection of God, the armor of God, the breastplate of God's justice, and the belt of truth, the shield of faith or of trusting in God. We wear God's protection. But I think we've also been given authority to speak to the unholy spirits that invade the darkness, that inflate this darkness and make it seem all-consuming. We're given the authority to stand in the presence of God and say no to the evil that surrounds us. We have the authority of Jesus to speak to unholy spirits and say no, no more, leave. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, leave. And I think if we as Christians really took our full place on this earth, things would change. If we stood in the authority and power that we have been given, that things would change. Let it begin here. Let it begin now with us. Let us join those around the world that also say a holy no. Let us not give in to the darkness. We can say a holy no to the unholy spirits that surround us and nip at our heels. We think we aren't powerful enough to do this. Well, I'm glad you got the holy whatever, because I don't. And so we often think, I'm not powerful. I can't say anything. I can't do anything. I'm helpless in this situation. But that's not true. You know, the first time I didn't have a clue what I was doing. But I knew I had to do something. I was feeling desperate. And I didn't know what else to do. And I blurted out what came to mind. And I, at that point, would not have even said that God told me to say that. But in hindsight, I can tell you that it was God that put those words in my mind. In calling on the name and power of Jesus to dispel evil, it has to go. When I do that, I bring the full power and presence of Jesus to bear in my holy no. To speak in the name of someone, it means that I carry their authority to speak. Just like if I tell you that the boss said something, I do that with the authority of my boss. So to speak in the name of Jesus, we carry the authority of Jesus to speak against the unholy, to tell it no. And the truth is that you have everything you need to stand and say no to evil in the name of Jesus. Start by asking God to show you how to pray and when to pray. It's the first thing, just to ask God. What is ours to do today? What specific thing would you have me pray into this situation? Or as we're gathered in two or three, gathered together, how would you have us as a group to pray into this situation? To ask for the specificity of how we're to pray, rather than to feel like we have to kind of take on the whole world. What is ours to do today? What is ours to speak into today in our sphere of reference, or that we are given, that we are carrying in our hearts? We name the truth of the darkness that surrounds us. And then we listen for God's wisdom and direction about which piece is ours to pray into. And that's true whether it's a big thing or a really small thing. Whether it pertains to my home or my family, something personal, or whether it pertains to the world at large, to our nation or to world systems, whatever it is, we listen for God's wisdom and direction. Often God will give us an image that informs our prayer, an image that we can hold, either that we see of what's at work, and then we know how to pray for this this image that we see, or we're given an image of how to pray, or somehow that an image will inform us. And let that happen. For those of us that are visual, that often is more helpful than a bunch of words. And then we acknowledge that when we are given our peace, our place to speak, that we have the authority to speak in the name of Jesus and to speak an holy no against the unholy presence that we see before us, against the evil that is inflating things and working things out of control. Again, whether it be an individual or whether it be a governmental system, or whether it be a societal problem, whether it be an institution, whatever it is, that when things are inflated and we're given to see and to speak into it, we're given all the authority we need to say no. In the name and power of Jesus, we speak to the unholy and tell it to go. In the name and power of Jesus, we speak to the unholy and tell it a holy no. You cannot come here. No. We have that authority. And we can stand and take our place. God has called us to do that. And God has given us every resource that we need to be able to stand and say no in the power and presence and name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And then once we have said our holy no, once we have told evil to leave, once we have swept the house clean, so to speak, Scripture tells us that we shouldn't leave the house empty. Tells us in Matthew 12 not to say, well, that's good, all the evil is gone, now we walk away. But that we want to fill it again with the holy presence of God. That if we don't, the demons return in mass and we'll fill it up. And so when we have been called to cast the unholy out of a place, we want to fill it up with the Holy Spirit. To stand and take our true place as people of God, to inhabit the house, to live into the fullness of who we're called to be in this particular place and space. To fill every crook and cranny with the Holy Spirit scrubbing bubbles. Send them all around, scrubbing bubbles and filling the space with the presence of God, the sweet and holy presence of God. My friends, we have the power and authority in the name of Jesus to say a holy no, to sweep the house clean, and then to invite the Spirit as we join with the Spirit in filling that place with God's holy presence. Let's listen and wait in the presence of God as we invite God to speak into our present conditions. How is it, Lord, that we can be faithful as these people in this place to do that which you have given to us to do. Let us listen.